Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Terry Webb. I'm the author of Believe in God, Volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4. I was born in Birmingham, Alabama. I came out here to Los Angeles at an early age. During my time in the Army, I was injured, and I was honorary medically discharged. When I got out, I couldn't find a job, so I sold drugs on the side. I knew it was wrong, but that's what I did at that time. I did 8 years in prison and lost my wife, my son, and everything that I've ever achieved to establish. When I got out, I tried desperately to put my life back together, but I was unable to. So through my desperation, I got hooked on drugs myself. 15 years of struggling in and out of my addiction, going back and forth to prisons, I surrendered my life to God. And in a prison cell, he heard my cry. And from there, I started doing poetry. I didn't understand why, but I never took a class in poetry or nothing like that, but I used to read the Book of Psalms a lot. Oh, Lord, you said you will come and share with me my sorrow. You told me, Lord, that you will be there for all of my tomorrow. But out of my life, I push you back. I try to anyway. But as you gave your word to me, I'm with you, child, to stay. So you led me to the living waters, and you stood there by my side. You knew my soul was thirsty, Lord, and my soul was not denied. I cannot explain your love for me. It's hard to understand how you accept me as I am, a shameful sinner man. I wrote over 1,000 poems, not knowing that I was writing a book. And so today I consider myself as a living testimony through the redemptive nature of faith, how through my adversity, the strength of the human spirit, God allowed me to change. I know everyone has different religions, different faiths, but I believe in it only being one God, and everybody serve God in their own ways or call him whatever they may choose or see fit. My target audience is everyone. For everyone who I can touch and receive through these books to draw them closer to the Lord.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is my guest tonight, Mr. Terry E. Webb, poet. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome him to the show, along with my co-host, Ms. Anna Marie Holliday. How are you tonight, Mr. Webb? Okay, Mr. Webb, I don't see his connection just as yet. That was a pre-recording. So we have my co-host with me, Ms. Anna Marie Holliday, and I guess we'll go ahead and get busy with the show. I would assume that Mr. Webb has all the information from previously being counseled or hosted by Ms. P.J. Sampson. We'll see if he calls in tonight. And if not, Terry, we can just wing this all the way through. I mean, Anna, we can wing this all the way through if you don't mind.
No, no tonight? Problem.
Okay, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. Excited about our guest tonight, his story,
yeah.
What God has done.
Exactly. And he's done so much, you know, within his time of being away for, I believe it was 15 years, he said he was incarcerated and, you know, being on the streets of Watts. Of course, I have relatives that live in California, and it's not an easy place to live, especially in those areas. Just like here in Georgia where I'm at, it's always a place where there's, you know, a high crime area and places that are not really good for anyone to be in. So I guess we can all give him praise and see exactly where his life filtered, because he said he lost his family, he lost everything that he has, and you know, God always has a way for us to rebuild ourselves, and despite when all the odds are against us and our backs are against the wall, and no one seems to understand sometimes what the other person is going through, only God does, and it's up to that individual to pick up and to hustle through life, to reshape himself or herself and to renew their life energy. So, you know, we can talk about that for a while tonight, Anna, and hopefully he'll reconnect with us. I'm sure he has the number. Mr. Webb, if you're out there listening, the number again is 646-200-3817, and I do hope that you did receive the information from our booking from the host, Ms. P.J. Sampson, to go ahead and give us a call tonight. And if not, sir, we'll be able to rebook you again. So, Terry, what do you think about his feats of amazement and his life-changing renewal? I'm sorry, Anna, I keep calling you Terry. Anna, what do you think about that?
Well, you know what, like you said, it's hard for anyone to start over, especially when you have, you know, you map out your life and you know, and it's funny because there's a saying that if you want to hear God laugh, you tell him what. We don't predict, you know, that one day we'll be something that's less than what society has pronounced one to be. And so for him to go through this kind of torment, and I say torment because it is, it's not ease, it's not something that comes norm. It's a torment to be in a place where you don't have the liberty and the freedom. You know, you're in bondage. They're, you know, they're telling you what to do, when to eat, when to get up, when you can shower. And so that's why I call it, it's a torment. And, you know, you hit on it so very well, and even his introduction talking about, you know, to lose everything. And, you know, when you lose your wife, that's a big thing. But when you lose your kids, you know, that to me, that's even a bigger thing, because that's part of you. That's part of your seed. You know, your wife is also a part of you, but then you're taking a part something that's a part of your seed away. So, you know, it takes a lot, you know. And so I actually, if I was wearing a hat tonight, I would take my hat off to him for stepping up and being the man that God has called him to be.
Yes, yes, I agree with you 100%, because, you know, we all struggle in life to have so many things that are pulling against us and so many wrong turns that, you know, we all have been privy to at some time in my life, not necessarily going to prison, but all the insecurities that we have and sometimes the downfall that continuously, you know, have us spiraling down in life. And it's kind of a struggle to get back at the top sometimes, especially when people are constantly, you know, stepping on you and pushing you down. And, you know, those things are very important in life. And what this young man has done, you know, is very remarkable. That's why I chose to play his video from YouTube, to let him express himself, you know, in a way that people could relate to it, to hear him, to hear that sometimes pain in his voice and then that joy when he's revamped himself all over again. You know, he's in this program called, he participated in a program called Project Bill, sponsored by Maxine Waters, in the Imperial Courts Project. So I would imagine that's where he lived at one particular time. But I've had family members, you know, to be on that same journey, you know, with drug addiction and drugs, and then moving back and reshaping their lives all over again. We've lost so many people, you know, to that in our families, you know, from men, women, and children, sometimes for hostile reasons other than just the particular person that was in that kind of situation. They don't know or understand that even though you're doing these things sometimes, you know, it can bring really serious consequences to your family because of the fact that they're out to get you, they can't find you, so they take someone else away from you. And that really hurts, you know, that really hurts a lot. So his inspirational poems are here to help others, as he has said, so that they won't be lost in a turmoil. And I think that's a great thing, you know, to do, to sit back and to reflect on your life, especially being incarcerated and having all that time to think, to revamp. God is good. He is good.
Yeah.
Hannah? Mm-hmm.
You know, being in prison, and I've never been there, and it's just the grace of God that, you know, it's not like I haven't done anything not to be there. Let the truth be told. There's a lot of people that just haven't got caught in some of the things they have done, and thank God for His grace and mercy. But you know, something that's very important is, you know, the imprisonment is just not the imprisonment of being behind bars, because some people that are in prison or even locked up in jail, they might very well. It takes freedom in your mind, because when you got to come out here, and I would say that it's easier probably in jail, but I don't know, or in prison, because I've never been there. But it's the outside people that now have, you know, that you're looking to accept you because now you've been tagged. Now you have a label on it. Now that you're just a number to them. And so you have to build up your mind to be able to hold strong that you are willing to do what it takes to survive on the outside. And so now that you're free, bound in the inside, you know, your mind now has to make, you have to make sure that your mind is free from the captivity. If not, then I'm pretty sure that he would tell you tonight that if he was online, that you will find yourself back in that same place, because you have to be strong to be able to survive on the outside. Because on the inside, everybody is doing the same thing, which is being controlled by somebody else. But on the outside, it's a new world, especially when you've been in prison for so long. So many things have changed. You have food prices change. You have the cars change. The way the living expenses change. Your family has changed, and of course, your body, your mind has changed.
Exactly, and I do so agree with you 100% on that, because, you know, being in a situation again like he was in, and reaching out to him again, I hope he's listening in to, I hope he can get this information. I don't have a contact number for him, only the email that I sent in for him to respond. So if he doesn't, reaching out to him again, I hope that, you know, people will even go to his website to look at his books, to see how this wonderful man has picked himself up. And his website is http://poetrytogod.org. That's http://poetry, POETRYTOGOD, all together, lowercases.org. And you can also find his book, www.barnesandnoble.com, where his poetry books are available. He's written so much, and it would take a lifetime to probably over 1,000 books. Wow, that's a lot of time to write, a lot of time to reflect on God, a lot of time to be active in the arms of the Lord, trying to revamp himself all over again, you know. And I'm just so happy for this man to have done what he's done, because he really demonstrates the love of God through his poetry. And he will, as he said, change the lives of everyone who reads it. So if it's just one person at a time, as he said in his EPK kit, then so be it, one person at a time. Because I believe that for each one, we teach one. And in order to do that, we need a bond. We have to have that bond, a relationship where we can dig out of the trash cans for scraps and, you know, come away, and rise above the lowest points in our life to that of a higher point, reach that apogee, and turn your life around, because it's not too hard. If Mr. Webb can do it, so many others have done it, and so many others will continue to do it. So I have to give him a really standing ovation for that, because he was also honorably medically discharged from the military, Anna, and that's a lot right there to, you know, give yourself to your country, knowing that your life is on the line, and then coming back to something that you didn't have any choice to do at that particular time because you had to make money for your family. What are your views on that, Anna?
Well, you know what, I noted that when, being that he was medically discharged, and, you know, our country, you know, I pray that they will see the vision that how these vets need help after being discharged. Whatever reason, being discharged or just fully doing out their term, that they need help. Whatever need that they help, I pray that, you know, that this country, more than what it has, will wake up even more. And I'm not saying that it hadn't done anything, but in his case, you know, he couldn't find a job. And that just makes me sad to know that someone on my behalf, of my family, my loved ones, my country, has given up their life to go and put their life in jeopardy, and basically leaving their family. And then when they come back and they need the love, they need help, that it was not offered. And so I pray that, he's able to even be an advocate on that part and showing how vets can get that help, because that's also an imprisonment. That's just another form of imprisonment. Because in their minds, you know, they're in prison because they cannot go any farther. They're stuck. When you come out, when you come from war, you're stuck. You feel like you're in a box. Things have changed, and so they need
exactly.
States. They need help. So yeah, I was, you know, my heart was sad to hear that, but I do understand exactly, you know, what he's saying. I've never been in war before, but I've worked in the field of doing not something like in the medical field, and I understood that, you know, when I go and try to get help for these people that's been in the vet, it was hard. Even medical-wise, it was hard, and they were denied. So I pray that that does change for them.
I do, too, because I agree. The voices of recovery, I mean, they're in the million trifolds, or probably the billions, you know, for so many people that have young, you know, men, women, and children, you know, sorrowfully, the children are victims of, you know, something that it seems as if could have been avoided, but sometimes they get on the wrong pathway, you know, as if in bullying and everything else kids get caught up in, as well as adults. So, you know, a family member of mine was caught up in that. I won't call their names for privacy, but it was a long road, you know, for the family to help the family member to recover. And it seems as if it was only me and my mom sometimes that actually cared, because no one else seemed to care. You know, they didn't know the struggles that, you know, you go through as a family, just like with Mr. Webb. I'm sure his family went through so much, and they went through so much heartache and pain. But no one knows unless you're really in that with someone, because, you know, so many people like him, as you said, who was in prison, you know, nowhere else to go. You know, his recovery was within God himself, you know, and God touched him, I believe, to help him to renew his life, to reshape his life, to come out of there being a whole man again, because he said he was less than a man when he went in. But when he came out, the oasis for his renewal was awesome, because look what he's done. You know, he's done so much, and he's still doing, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing that he's doing. And I hope that somewhere down the road, Anna, that he'll be able to have a counseling, you know, a business of his own, you know, to help people to look at him, look at life, because you have so many people out there that are angry, they're disillusioned, you know, they have all these things about themselves where they come down on themselves for everything, and then they attack other people in the process, because they're really not looking at themselves to see what they're doing. They only know what they want to do is right for them, and everybody else is wrong. So when you're in a drug situation like that, it takes a lot out of you, because we went through hell and high water, and I'm sure that his family did the same. And I wish that he could connect with us so we could talk about this before we leave the air. But by him participating in so many other programs and everything like that, it's available for all people everywhere. And it's just a sad situation that drugs seem to be the epitome of lifestyle here. You know, I mean, they're finding new ways to get high and all of these things. You know, he would be the one to talk about that tonight, to let us know, you know, what can you do to help to reshape the world for each one that you can teach one. So drugs are very detrimental to everybody, even the prescribed ones that we take ourselves for aches and pains, you know. I wish I could get off of those myself, you know, being in the situation that I'm in. But this man here is just totally awesome, and I'm going to order one of his books, ladies and gentlemen, and I encourage you to also do the same for Mr. Webb, to support him and to let him know that you're listening to the show by emailing. You know, you can email us at, you can email me, rather, at gwizproductionsllc.gae@gmail.com. That's gwizproductions.gae Oh, Jesus. G Wiz Productions, LLC. GAE. G is in Georgia, A is in Apple, E is in Elephant, at gmail.com. And let us know that you listen to the radio show. Anna and I would very much be appreciative to that. And if you'd like to tweet us, you can tweet us right now. Anna, you have a tweet that you can list on the air?
On
Twitter?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, you can tweet me on Twitter at GG1015 for anything that you would like to, for myself or for Anna to ask, you know, questions to answer to the best of our ability. Since we are not in contact with our guest tonight as hoped we would be, but we're tonight, you're listening in to The Artist Loft, and our guest is scheduled, Mr. Terry Webb from Low to High, his Life Renewal. And we're going to be talking about his poetry books. But if not, we can't connect with him tonight. We would love for you to connect with him on his website. And I'll read that website to you once again so you'll have that information when we come back from our 3-minute break. So, Anna, we're going to go into break for a moment. I'm going to play some music, and I'll be right back. Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to The Artist Loft. One moment as we get this queue up. Everything is kind of slow tonight. Again, while we're waiting on that, you can call in again at 646-200-3817. And again, our guest is Mr. Terry Webb, poet. Enjoy the music as it pulls up. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for listening in to that. I believe that we do have a caller. I believe this may be Mr. Webb. So let me patch in and see if this is Mr. Webb calling in. One moment. Hello? Thank you for calling in. Is this Mr. Webb? Hello, and thank you for calling in. Is this Mr. Webb? Hello? Is this Mr. Webb calling in? All right, Anna, we do have a call of 501 Exchange, but we're not having a reply at this time. And ladies and gentlemen, this is your radio host, along with my co-host, Ms. Anna Marie Holliday. I'm Gigi Adams-Evans, and our guest tonight, hopefully, is Mr. Terry Webb from Low to High, His Life Renewal. We hope that you'll be able to engage in dialogue with myself and Anna, and hopefully, let's just pray that Mr. Webb connects with us before the show is over. We are here from 7 to 8 p.m. every night, and we're looking forward to interviewing him tonight. So back again with you, Anna, with Mr. Terry Webb, and we're discussing him and his wonderful work that he's done. Anna?
Well, you know, I really just blessed to know that he's on a road, and it's a continuously road. You know, it's one that I believe that is something that you continue to grow in every single day. When you have been in a certain situation, it doesn't disappear overnight. And so, you know, it sounds like he definitely know, you know, God is his savior. I love the reading of his poetry, and, you know, it just reminds me of David, a man after God's own heart. Now is sensitive to what he was made for, and nothing less, something that's greater, you know. And it sounds like he has learned, and he's learning what his purpose is. He's living with a purpose, and, you know, unfortunately, it took for him to be locked up, to lose his family, to lose his wife, to lose his children, and to lose his respect in order to find what his purpose is in life. And it sounds like he's on the right track now. But I have something that's called the 3 D's, and you hit on it so well briefly, Ms. Gigi, about the denial, and I call it the denial, the self-destruction, and the domino effect. And many times when people's life period are going through situations like this, they are in denial. And so I call it the 3D because they're not looking at the same eyeglasses that we're looking at. They're looking at it a different way, and they, you know, what you might say that they're doing because of the effect that the drugs have on them, they don't see that. And I call it self-destruction because they don't understand that they are destroying their life. They're destroying their very, what they built their life to be on. And, you know, I call it the domino effect, because the domino effect means that it is affecting more than just you. Whenever you go into anything like this, it destroys your family, your immediate family, your indirect family, the taxpayers, somebody that's driving down the road. If you're on drugs while you're driving, and you might get in an accident with them, it's many people that it's affecting. It's not just affecting you. And so there's a lot that that I'm so glad that he's offering to, but those that have been addicted or those that are addicted, that they, you know, that there's hope and there's life, and he's able to, you know, to give this from his heart by writing it out on paper. So I pray that people tonight will notice who he is, and that will get some kind of help if they're not able to go to counselors or counsel. Counselor because it's money, but they're able to listen and go onto his website and get this help, because it's going to start in the mind. You know, the mind is strongest. They're not able to admit and to get help in their mind, then, you know, or they're not able to get family. And sometimes your family, you know, I've saw many people that's in my family before that's been on drugs or are on drugs. And, you know, the family, you say the same thing over, I'm not going to do this anymore. You're still doing it, you know. And some people have stole from families and, you know, broken into their house. And it's just that trust is gone. He's able to help many people in this situation. So I'm happy, you know, I wish that he was here with us, and hopefully he'll be able to join us again. But I do believe that he's an awesome man of God, and I'm glad that he has given his gifts and talents to the society that he has come from. Back to you, Ms. Chester.
Exactly. And I agree also. It could be something that's causing him not to be able to call in tonight, or he may have something else that's going on. But ladies and gentlemen, we do encourage you, myself, TG, and my co-host, Anna, to look up Mr. Terry Webb. He has such an awesome, awesome thing to deliver to you. And renewing his mind in a Christian recovery like he did, keeping God within his life, you know, to do the things that he's done. He was not conformed to the world, but he was transformed by the renewal of his mind, that by testing he may discern what is the will of God, what is good and what is acceptable and perfect. So he chose that in Romans 12, too. You can read it for yourself to have a little bit more understanding of the things that Terry went through, because he was powerless. He was really powerless for everything and anything that happened to him. He saw that his Christian life was vastly important to him, so he had an opportunity to, while he was incarcerated, to do some of those things. He learned how to overcome his own sin. How many people do you know that can do that? How can you overcome your own sin? This is a man that we're talking about, has written over 1,000 books. I mean, poetry, can you imagine? And all of his positive, overcoming his fear, overcoming his iniquity, overcoming all the things that brought him down in life. You know, his sobriety in Christianity was awesome because he changed. Like I said, he went to the top. He didn't keep going downward. There is hope, ladies and gentlemen, that people don't understand. And that hope doesn't mean the situation is hopeless, but Christianity in your life, to have that hope, to pick yourself up from where you came from, even positive thoughts, like this young man did, writing his books and doing all the things that he did. He relied on the Bible, and the book was, and that big book told him differently how he could learn how to become, you know, that we're not powerless. We are men and women. We are human beings. We do have a mind. We do have willpower, and we can still drift away from the things that God has intended for us to do. But we have to learn how to continuously renew our mind, revamp ourselves, keep going and looking upward to all the good things that Christ has for us. As I said before, it's in Romans 12:22, it states that we must be transformed. You know, and note that this is not an act where we perform it. It is God who transforms us. So we have to change our minds to desire what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. It is God, not us. Everybody has to understand that through the Holy Spirit, who renews us in mind, heart, body, and spirit. Anna?
That is, you know what, that's definitely beautiful, talking about the renewing of the mind and being transformed. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, Terry could tell us tonight, you know, or even in his book, you know, or his poetry, it will tell us that, and even if it's not, he's able to tell us the signs. And I know that, you know, this one thing about drugs, you know, it's not prejudice. It don't matter if you're black, you're white, you're fat, you're skinny. It doesn't matter. It is not prejudice. What it is something that if you are available to do it, and it takes your, if you, you know, allow it to come into your mind, and then you react, your actions, you act to that, then that's the person that will be able to be weak to it. And so it's just looking for a person who is willing to try it. That's all it wants, is a person who is willing to try it. So, you know, there's certain signs, you know, just from that I know that, you know, people that I've seen, you know, around and stuff. So if they're changing, you know, if they're eating more, you know, if they're, you know, their eyes are shifting, and, you know, you have to notice the signs, even, you know, being, you know, in the house with young people. Statistics will tell you more now than what it was last year. People are using drugs. Young people are using drugs more and more. You know, even in the schools. I don't care if the schools are a high school or junior high or a grammar school. There was an incident that not too long ago where a child brought edible marijuana to school. This was grammar school. And if I might be, I don't remember exactly what age it was, but I think the age is like 13 or 12. And so this is happening single day. And so two of her classmates was giving edible drugs inside of food. So, you know, there's signs that we have to, you know, be watching and be aware of our kids and your loved ones, your family. And people are using these substances to get out of something that they think that they can just have peace away from a troubled time. And so they're using this as a way out. And so, I'm just excited, you know, to hear that there's someone out there that is reaching out to some the other people that need help. They might not know where they can get help from. Sometimes people are on these drugs, they don't know where they can go. And so thank God for Terry that they can go to him. They can read his information. They can see his stuff on the website. And there's hope.
Exactly. You know, and I agree with you 100%, Anna, because of the fact that in his, I didn't read this over the air, but I'm going to read it now because I have to give him another high five for this, because it reads that Terry doesn't do anything against the law, but he works in law as a loss prevention security officer now. So Terry is also a licensed ordained minister and has a degree in psychology and chemical dependency counseling. I mean, how good can that get? He's reformed, reshaped. He also has become a professional helper and demonstrates his impulse to care by going over and beyond the expectations of his role helping others. So by the grace of God, it reads that his inspirational poems are here to help others who are lost so that they may be found in Christ. Terry really believes that his poetry to God will change, as I mentioned before earlier in the show, the lives of everyone who reads it. And that goes to give accolades to what you've also said, you know, as far as Mr. Webb and the children. You know, children are so, so vulnerable these days. And like you said, in elementary school now, I mean, I never would have heard of that, you know, but now everything is possible. Everything is happening in the world. You know, you see it on the streets. You go by and you see kids wielding guns and knives and they're in gangs and, you know, they'll take your life, you know, without you even having to even wink an eye or anything. If you look at them wrong, they're taking your life. They're stealing your money to go buy more drugs. They're selling drugs. They've got drug runners. They've got kids that don't do anything but stay out of school and be locked up in this little house I've seen, you know, in and around neighborhoods where all they do all day, Anna, is sell drugs. You know, they're lucky if they get food. They're lucky if they get medical attention. But then they're selling them and they're using them as well. So we need to reach out and really, really help, you know, people to recover and renew their minds as much as possible. And this is what Mr. Webb is doing, you know, through his poetry and through his presence. Even though his presence is truly missed tonight, and I wish he would call in, we could interview him before our time is up, but maybe another time we can get him again, Anna, to find out, you know, what's happening and to get him to share with us even more things that he's doing that's not in his testimony, that's not on YouTube. Again, if you'd like to see him, you can go to Terry E. Webb and just type in Terry E. Webb like I did, comma, YouTube, and it'll pull him up. He's very, very, very aggressive in what he believes in, and that's the most powerful thing in the world. Terry. I mean, I'm sorry. I keep calling you Terry, Anna.
Well, you know, like you said, he's very aggressive in what he believes in. And, you know, anyone that wants something and you're taking it away, something that's so aggressive like drugs. So you have to be aggressive and take it by force. And that's what he's, you know, that's what he's doing. He's taking it by force. When something's wrapped up around another person, whatever it might be, in this instance, it's drugs, then that person is bound up in their mind and in their body. They don't, you know, they're already out there. They're gone. So I'm pretty sure that he has techniques. He has ways, being a counselor and an ordained minister. He's seen it, you know, and so he knows that when somebody's in denial, he knows when someone is headed for self-destruction. And so you have to have technique. You have to have wisdom. You have to have knowledge. And because he has already walked that walk before, he's able to tell them. You know, I believe that there's people that can help people that's never been in the situation before. But when you can get somebody that can help you, that's been down those same roads, that same, you know, that's been that walk that walk, a lot of times you're able to believe them the more, because you're saying, hey, I know that you've been there before. And I'm not saying that people can't help somebody that's never been there, but when you know that somebody don't walk that same walk, you're liable to believe them, because you're saying, well, you know, you have that testimony. You know, you're testifying to them. Look, I've been through this test. I've been homeless. I've been without. I've been on drugs. I've been in prison. I've been without a wife. I lost my kids. I didn't have money. I've been discharged. I didn't have a job. And, you know, so you're able to testify that you've been to the lowest of low. And so, and then you have a person to look at you, and when they're looking at you, they're looking at hope. They're looking at capability. They're looking at success. You know, and so I know that he's able to, you know, to see where the people are going, and to talk them and to let them know and to pray with them and to agree with them that the road can get better. And again, you know, I said that it's not a road that gets better, you know, in one day. It, you know, it took time for you to spiral into this. And so it's going to take dedication. You know, it's going to take sincerity. It's going to take honesty to get out of what that hole you're in. But it's also, there's hope. You know, you're able to do it. And, you know, you're certainly able to do it with the Lord on your side. And then you're able to do it when you have someone like Terry. You know, and I believe that he's the kind of person, you know, that he believes that even if it touched one person, then he has done what he has been called to do, although he wants to touch, you know, many more. But when you're able to touch one person, again, it goes back to that domino effect. When you have something positive like that, you touch one person, somebody else is going to tell somebody else, and somebody else is going to tell somebody else. And so before you know it, you've touched a city. Before you know it, you touched a country. Before you know it, you've touched a nation. And before you know it, it's all over the world for the things that you have done concerning taking it by force and being, you know, having that tenacity and saying, guess what? Drugs ruined my life, but they're not going to ruin my family life. So you're trying to teach your family, look it, don't go down this road. I've already went down this road for you. And, you know, I just really believe that the things that we go through in life, it's not just for us. It's so that somebody else can see what we have done.
Exactly.
And they don't have to go down that same road. And so I'm glad that God had used him to be an example for many lives that he can, you know, many young people's lives that he can just touch and say, look, don't do it this way. There's a better way. There's hope.
Exactly.
Back to you, Ms. Gigi.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you so much. And I really do agree with you on that, because people need to understand that God is responsible for performing all the major acts in our lives, you know, the transformations that we go through. And as Anna has so exquisitely expressed, you know, Mr. Webb is a man of God. He's showing what he has been led to do. So that doesn't mean that his work is finished. It never will be finished, because we always falter by the wayside somewhere in our lives. We are always, always in tune with God somehow or another. He has us in the midst of his control, whether we take responsibility for that or not. So in order you know, addictions or fixate on certain things that may actually carry those thoughts into action. And those things sometimes, you know, leads us into a world of carelessness because we become weak. And for this reason, in Philippians 4:8, it instructs us that, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything, I mean anything worthy of praise, think about these things, because transformation really does begin in the mind, and it begins first and foremost with God. As Mr. Webb has done, he's proven that by his works, his talent, his poetry books. And so we grow and heal by continuing to immerse ourselves in the Almighty, because recovery is a long road, as I mentioned before, not only with Mr. Webb and his family, but in my family, there have been struggles with people that were on drug abuse. And they got back. They reshaped their lives. They're on the right track. You know, they're doing wonderful things, you know, in the church. They're helping people in all walks of life. And this is the same thing that he's doing. So make it a habit. Sobriety, even if it's alcohol, sobriety and recovery becomes a second nature, and the Christian life becomes our own because we chose to do the best thing in the world, and that was to let go and let God. So the power of that growth and that grace and grounded in his mercy, so the power and the wisdom of God helped him to move to where he is. And I swear, I mean, I'm just happy. I've got chill bumps over me because there is hope if you believe. You've got to listen to your heart. You've got to follow God. And as a Christian, you have to hold certain values close to your heart because Christian drug rehabilitation is not easy. It's really not easy for anyone in the world. And if you can do the recovery and you can go back and say that I've made it and you can help someone else, what better growth is that, Anna? What better growth in the world is that? Because you have done what? For each one, you've taught one. And for that person that you taught, you can teach someone else. And it goes on and on and on. It's just like a endless, the circle of infinity. Because once you get all of those people into that circle, then they're not going to falter back. Why would they falter back when they've got all this goodness in front of them, you know, to renew their selves, to renew their mind, to have that recovery, to feel whole again? That's the important thing that you need to do, is to hold close to the values in life. Don't go back. Go forward. Anna?
Well, you know, just, you know, listening to the things that you're saying and just, you know, thinking about the life that Terry is now living, make my mind go back to think that this is my first cousin's 1-year anniversary, and I'm so proud of her. And she's been for 1 year, and I'm so excited. And all this week, I've made up in my mind that I will make sure that I send her some information and just a book and a card, and just to encourage her. You know, people that. Take this road. You know, I just believe that sometimes, you know, when they come out, then they have to have support, you know.
Exactly.
And so I want to be that, even though we're in two different states, I want to be a part of that support system to let her know that, you know, the thing is, even before she got on drugs, I thought that she was a beautiful girl. You know, this is my first cousin. I looked up to her. But somehow the enemy got in to make them feel that this was the way out. And like I said, it's not that they want to get addicted on drugs. And it's not that people want to shoot up. It's not that people want to snort. It's just that this is the way that they feel. It's a numbness, at, you know, for their bodies and their minds to go into this place where they don't have to feel what the reality is at that time. And so... you know, it's a road that I thank God I never had to walk down, but all of us have somehow walked with somebody in that same road, whether it was a son, a daughter, a mother, a father, a loved one, a cousin, a friend. This drug addiction has hit everybody's house before. And for those that said, no, it never hit my house, oh, yeah, you just don't know about it, which brings me to the point of saying that, you know what, it is getting, it drugs now, the way that it's presented is being wiser and wiser every year. And there's so many ways that, people are finding ways of how to get high and how to use these drugs, whether, like you said, it's over the counter, or whether it's prescriptions, or whether it's, you know, illegal drugs. It's being used in different forms. There used to be a time where you could just go get certain cough medicines at the drugstore. Now they have them behind the counter. Why? Because these young people have found out ways, excuse me, ways to use certain chemicals with these, or certain mixtures to get a high, you know. And so it used to be that, you know, if we, when we were growing up, if we knew that someone that was adult age was doing it, they were not smoking it in your face. They were not snorting it in your face. They had a respect about not letting the kid or your child see it. Now the parents are doing it while the kids are in the car with them. Or they're taking the kids to the drug house because the kid knows where the best dope is compared to the parent. And so it's on the rampage. It's on the rampage, and it's inundated the schools, and it's prevalent, unfortunately, in places where we never thought. And you can read the stories, and you hear about them, and people, it is real. And so our best, you know, our best thing against it is to, you know, keep praying that, Father, you know, that it don't hit my house. It does make me aware of it so that I can get my child help from someone like Terry, who has been down the road, you know, that has walked the walk. And sometimes it's hard to, you can tell a loved one, you know, how bad anything is or something is, and the loved one might not be able to hear from you, but they're able to hear from somebody else who has experienced it. So, again, you know, I'm so honored that to have met his acquaintance through his website, and acknowledge that that God has sent this man of God to go through this. He's used him as an instrument, and, you know, what the enemy meant for his bad, that God has turned it around for his good. Back to you, Miss Gigi.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening.
Miss Gigi.
I'm here. Can you hear me, Terry? Okay, can you hear me?
No, this is not Terry. This is Miss PJ. I wanted to just interject something that Anna was saying, if I may. Okay. Anna, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to say to both of you all that I was listening in on the show. I think when Gigi, I wanted to apologize to you when you was trying to ask for Terry Webb. That was actually me, but I had noise in the background, so I couldn't answer you at the time. But I just wanted to interject in that of knowing Terry Webb. I knew him because of the fact that I was dealing with my god sister since 2008 that had dealt with drugs. She was not only a person dealing with drugs, but she was a poet. And I had went through with her even in the military. And I saw a piece of paper that said that she was lonely, felt rejected, and the therapist was asking her, how is she feeling? And most people will look at the surface of a person, but they never look at the root of the problem or what's going on. And that's what you're dealing with, is a spiritual warfare. And even counselors may not get to the root of the problem, but sometimes they even deal with all the way to childhood. And so they go back to their comfort zone. And something may be that an adult has taught them what to hang on to deal with those issues, and that's all that they know, until they don't even know how they got on drugs and alcohol, because those things have been suppressed. And so every time there is a trigger, if there is a trigger in a relationship, if there's a trigger on a job, if they're losing a job, then it goes back to that comfort zone until they learn how to communicate what they have suppressed so many years. And though that is the feeling of rejection, loneliness, when those things hit. So he has found a way to express that in writing. And as a writer and as a poet myself, that is a way of therapy. And I didn't even know that about my god sister. Then when she started writing, and she talked about this little girl, and she would see this little girl and start writing. And at the end of it, she said, that little girl was me. And so she had to go back and help the little girl. But she wrote a poem about that. And so all I wanted to say is that when you, Anna, when you start talking and you was talking about the drugs and alcohol, I couldn't help but to appreciate the conversation, because for those years I was trying to get people to understand, even on the radio broadcast that I had, to communicate beneath the surface of a person. And writing does that, and that's what his gift has done. So I was just enjoying the broadcast. I was in the middle of something, and I was just hoping to just to listen in. But it was so, the broadcast was so awesome to me that I just wanted to just to speak on that, of writing and poem and having that to be a therapy. And we have to understand that all of our gifts, whether it's a gift of poetry, a gift of writing, God has granted that gift because it's His gift of blessing us to be able to share that with somebody else. And it's just a form of therapy, communication. So, but I appreciate you all, and I really enjoyed the broadcast.
Well, we appreciate you too, PJ. Thank you for calling in. Can you hear me? Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great, great, great. I lost my sound there for a moment. Thank you, PJ, for your comments. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Artist Loft with my co-host, Ms. Anna Marie Holliday, and myself, T.J. Adams-Evans. And as we continue to go through on our missions in life, one important thing is to really realize that people that are struggling in life, especially when they're on drugs and they're reshaping their lives, they have to continuously check themselves and wonder, are they really trying to maintain an ego or a sense of personal power over life circumstances, when all they really need is God? So as we go in the practice of prayer and meditation, let's pray for all of those who are out there struggling, those that are taking the 12-step program. Again, my family member, she's been drug-free for 24 years, praise God. She's back in the mainstream of life. She's doing everything that's positive. She's back in church again. And I have to commend her on her well-being and her accomplishments in life, as well as appreciate the struggles in life that God's sister has as well. So I commend all of them, and I really appreciate. I just hate that we didn't get a chance to connect with Mr. Webb tonight, but I hope so that we'll be able to do that. Because what they do, ladies and gentlemen, it's not by cowardness. It's just because they're stressed in so many other ways. So to become a surrender, to surrender humbly, becomes the greatest source of strength that we have. In order to do that, we have to reach up, allow God. We've got to let go and let God. We've got about 60 seconds into the show before we shut down for the night. But I want to say again, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Anna, so much for your comments tonight. Thank you, PJ, for yours as well. And we have to be honest about ourselves and admit that we are powerless, you know, in the world of man. So we have to become more powerful with the word of God. And I hope that you all have a wonderful evening. Anna?
Well, you know, I'm sorry that our guest was not able to be on, but my heart has been blessed tonight, and I feel that definitely just by having a conversation on tonight with you, our host, Ms. Gigi, and PJ, your comments, I feel that I've taken something away, and I feel a little more aggressive in the spirit that, you know what, I'm determined that, you know, and I make a decision that, you know, drugs will not have my family. And so I, you know, they're worth fighting for. And so I'm excited, and thank you again so much for having me as your co-host. As always, I enjoy tonight's show.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate you too, Anna. And ladies and gentlemen, by the way, Anna's very talented herself, so I have to give applause to her as well because she's a – tell us about yourself, Anna, before we go. We got about 1 minute over time. Come on.
I'm just a nobody trying to tell somebody about everybody. It's about somebody.
I know you're limited to what you can and cannot say, but, you know, just let people know that you're out there, you know, for counseling or whatever else, all the things that you do, you know, on another different sector, you know, under, you know, without being managed by, you know, your manager or everything. So give people something to really want to hit you up for, so to speak, as the young folks say.
You know what? Hopefully I will be on the Artist Loft Show again very soon. I have a book that's out. I don't really call it a book because it's very little, but it is a book that will allow you to take each chapter and to open up and to self-examine yourself and not to be in captivity in your mind, body, and soul, but to be free from what the world has tried to chain you to. And it's also in each chapter, it just will allow you to journal and get some of that stuff off of your chest. And so I'm just a normal person and somebody that loves the Lord and love to assist in helping others to get to their purpose and plan for what God has ordained them to be. Back to you, Ms. Gigi.
Thank you. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. And ladies and gentlemen, that's my very beautiful co-host, Ms. Anna Marie Holliday. And we all both want you to listen to your hearts. And if you listen to your heart, you will know something is very wrong with it or very right. So if you listen and you listen very closely, you can hear a voice. You know, and that's not saying that you're crazy. That's not saying that I'm crazy. But you will hear something in a positive way that will keep you going forward. I believe that. I live by that every day of my life. Embrace the unknown. And that unknown is who we call Yahweh, Yahavah, God, I am, the one and only. So do that. Have your own Christian rehab within yourself, as Mr. Webb has done for himself. Thank you, everybody, for listening in, and may God bless you, Anna, and your family, along with PJ and her family, and everyone that's listening in tonight. Thank you all, and have a wonderful evening. Good night, Anna.
Good night.
Good night. God bless.